Harp on Sports with Seth Harp.
You know what time it is.
3, 2, 1.
Let's do this.
Go, bartenders! Your food needs refill.
Harp on Sports, the bar, podcast, media, audio, and radio network. What do we have in store for you on this edition of the program? Golden's Gamble, as Todd Golden, Florida Gators, takes some risks down the stretch. He gets a technical because of his anger, out of character. They lose by 2 points. People pointing to that for the reason why they lost. No, it's not why they lost. When you go back through and you look at things, it's a great run. And one thing did the Florida Gators in. We're going to look at that. Also, it's a chalky tournament. Chalk check marks, baby. For the only the fifth time, it's funny because they expanded in 85, right? So we're 40 years in to the field of 64/68. 40 years. Only 5 times have the 1 and 2 seeds gotten through to the Sweet 16. It's only the fifth time that's happened. That's remarkable. And then you take a step back and realize only once have all 1 seeds made it. But it's remarkable. It really is when you think about it. Only 5 times have all the 1s and all the 2s made it out of the first weekend. But we have it. It's a good thing. We'll look at that as well. And also, the NFL. A little concern. NFL score crows. As scoring is down 4 consecutive years. It's one of the big discussions this offseason. How do they increase scoring? Scoring's down. Oh, it's ruining the game. Defense. Scoring's down 4 straight seasons. So we'll look at that as well. 2 things could fix it immediately. Will they do it? Don't know, but yeah. Harp on Sports, the bar, podcast, media, audio, radio network. Follow, share, like, subscribe at Harp on Sports Twitter, at Harp on Sports Instagram, social media. Harp on Sports Auditory Route, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Harp on Sports Facebook page, Harp on Sports YouTube channel under the bar, and of course, harponsports.com. Okay. Florida loses, scores 100 points and loses. Can't stress that enough. Score 100 points in regulation and lose. Push off, no push off, Todd Golden's technical, all that stuff's all fine. Worthy of discussion, I guess, but not why they lost. Went through and looked at some numbers here. Florida had less than 30 rebounds. Top 5 rebounding team in the country. Finished with 9 fewer rebounds than they average. The lowest, second lowest rebounding output of the year. And they still had a shot. Think about that. The other thing that I think is remarkable about this, Colorado shot 63% from the field. That is unheard of. So Colorado shoots 63% from the field. They shot more free throws, but Florida committed, 4 more fouls? That's just 2 a half. They're going to the free throw line more. Well, the reason they're at the free throw line more is why? They shot half as many threes, so they got more shots in the paint. So I don't get all caught up about things like that. But what I do think is interesting is Colorado shot 63% from the field. So you combine Colorado shooting 63% from the field and Florida being out-rebounded 29-28. I think Colorado came in, 107th rebounding team in the country? They were 97th or they're 99 or 107. Boise State and Colorado, one of those was 107, one was 99. Florida came in the top 5, got out-rebounded. And it makes sense, right? Henlogged and gone. Micah Henlogged and gone. A guy that averaged, 5.5 points and 7 rebounds a game? What did I say? They finished 8 rebounds behind their average. And what do you know? Micah Henlogged averaged 7 rebounds. You're right there. And when you are a team like Florida and where you were and the run you made late in the year and how this team had gelled and how important the big guys were to start that transition, you can fill the gap for a while, but it's tough to beat a good team. And this Colorado team was a 10 seed, was probably really more of a 6 or a 7 masquerading as a 10 because of all their injuries. They finally get healthy at the end. It's almost like the inverse. Almost like the inverse. And I thought Golden did a nice job. And look, Colorado played not to lose the final 5 minutes. Florida dug into that. Let's not forget Colorado gifted some things back down the stretch, and Florida hit big shot after big shot. And, you know, Walter Clayton, a game for the ages, 33 points. Sometimes the breaks don't go your way, and the guy who has the ball last wins. And that's what happened here. But the whole Florida got robbed thing, come on, knock it off. Lost this game because Colorado shot 63% from the field. Florida was remarkable. Florida was like, what, 50% from behind the arc? But Florida, like, 10 of 19 threes, or whatever it was, a ridiculous amount of threes, 11 of 25 threes. It's just ridiculous. But at this level, you cannot get beat on the glass and have the other team shoot over 60%. It's amazing that it came down to that last shot. Amazing. But look, you lose in the first round? Yeah, it's a bitter pill. You bet it is. But he's done a nice job. He's built this up. Billy Donovan lost in the first round. Look at one of Billy Donovan, the run they went to the national championship his first go round. Mike Miller, Butler had him beat. So anyway, there you go. So, you know, Golden's gaff. Oh, he got the technical. No. Come on. He pushed off. Maybe a little bit. Maybe he did. But you dig yourself such a hole like that. And look, at the end of the game, it's going to be tough, not for them. You could say it was egregious. He did extend his hand to get some separation, but you know, what's funny about that in those situations, the players aren't complaining about it. The coaches aren't complaining about it. Only the fans are complaining about it. So there you go. All right. From that to this, it's a chalky tournament. Good. People that love chaos, that root for chaos, it's great in the opening round. As long as you don't lose too many of the alpha males, the big dogs. You lose too many of those and all the interest starts to plummet. You got like San Diego State and FAU and Miami in the Final Four with UConn last year. It's like, oh my God. Oh, this is awesome. And then the ratings are down. Do you think anybody in college basketball wants Iowa or LSU to get beat before they play each other on the women's side? No. So look, I'm not one of the, I don't differentiate between like certain mid-majors and look, at the end of the day, if like an NC State would have gotten beat by Grand Canyon or Grand Canyon played Alabama, right? Who's NC State? James Madison was Duke. That's one that you want to keep Duke around. But these blue bloods, I hate to tell you, gang, but upsets when I was a kid. Oh my God, that's amazing. That's really neat. But as an adult, I find myself wanting to watch the big boys. And I've broken the 16 teams into three different tiers. By the way, what I saw the first two weekends, tier one, UConn, Purdue, Duke, and Illinois. That's tier one from just this past weekend. I wish we reseeded this sucker. Every other sport recedes. The NFL recedes after the opening round. If the seven beats the two, seven plays the one. They reseed. Baseball, I mean, every sport does this. But my bracket. Oh, yeah, okay. All right, find your bracket. Those four. Illinois, Duke, Purdue, UConn, to me, look to be the most impressive. Then you have that next tier of, okay, maybe not as impressive as those guys, but look pretty good. That next tier is what? Gonzaga, North Carolina. I've got Arizona and San Diego State. So, impressive. Not as impressive as Illinois. Not as impressive as Duke. Not as impressive as Purdue. Not as impressive as UConn. But Gonzaga, North Carolina, Arizona, and San Diego State. That's my next tier. Then my next tier, it's like, you're pretty good. I mean, you get to the Sweet 16, you have to take care of business. And that's what? That's Tennessee, Marquette, Bama, and Iowa State. So Iowa State, Marquette, Bama, Tennessee, good, but nah, not over. I'm not going to do backflips, but good. And then you have that next tier, which I don't know what to make of you, which is Creighton, Houston, NC State, Clemson. So I've got them into four different tiers into the Sweet 16, A, B, C, and D. That's not saying D can't win. No, I don't know what to make of Houston. After blowing that gigantic lead to A&M, I know they're still pretty good. I know that they still go to the Final Four. You bet they can. But from what I saw the first weekend, blowing leads like that, I don't know what it does up top. Maybe it strengthens your resolve. A team like NC State, I'm happy for them. Again, I don't know what to make of them. Red hot. Creighton comes back, finds a way to beat Oregon. Clemson wins and looked impressive, but blew it and came back. I don't know what to make of those four at the bottom. But again, chalky chalk chalk. What do we have when it was all said and done? Of the top 16 seeds, we don't have a double digit, do we? All single digit seeds. All single digit seeds. And people complaining that it's just no excitement. A couple buzzer beaters. That was pretty exciting. A&M tying it. Houston winning in overtime. What we saw, nothing overwhelming. Some blowouts. This is what everybody, there's too many blowouts. Yeah, and what were the blowouts? Yale got crushed. That Grand Canyon game was brutal. You pull off a massive upset. Sometimes you're just not geared up for it at the next level. Oakland was competitive. That was NC State, right? Yeah. Oakland was competitive against NC State. Sometimes it's tough to get back up. It is. And you don't sneak up on anybody either at that point. And the team that you're playing won as well. And you pulled off a major upset and all the guts and the glory and everything that went with it. And the other team was favored usually and won. So, again, what do we have? 8 double-digit seeds wins, and they all get beat. Again, looking at it right now, it's just a shame that Gonzaga has to play Purdue because of how good those teams are to play. But, boy, UConn, Purdue, Duke, and Illinois. Whew. Impressive. Impressive. And look, that can die on a vine within a week. So I'm pretty happy with the Sweet 16. And what do we say? Of the Sweet 16, we have all ones advance, all twos advance. We lost 1-4 and 2-3s. We lost Baylor, Kentucky, and Kansas. So we have what, 13? 13 of the 16 through. Yeah. Think about that. Purdue, Duke, UConn, Arizona, Marquette, North Carolina. I mentioned Arizona, Gonzaga. And then, those are just regular standard, like tradition-rich teams. Then you got that next tier of teams that have gone to title games. Fly Slamma Jamma, Houston, Illinois. San Diego State was in it last year. Creighton made a push. Is Clemson the weakest of all these in terms of history? Iowa State? Pretty solid Sweet 16. I'll take it. All right, one to wrap with this. The NFL, a little score crow. Like that. NFL's a little concerned. As we're getting ready to start a new year, free agency's not all the way done, but pretty much. The draft's a month away. Month away from the draft. We look at the NFL, 2021, 2022, 2023. Scoring has gone down for 4 straight years, and that's a concern. Apparently, the NFL has is scoring continues to go down. 49 points a game, 2021, down to 45, COVID, and a little bit different. And the reason scoring was up is because defenses, there was no home field advantage. So, yeah, that makes sense. Down a full point in 22 to 47.3 or 43.76, and last year down another 17 tenths, 43.59. So it's gone down 4 straight years. Now, you can point to a lot of things, a lot of marquee quarterbacks getting hurt. Missing significant time. I can point to defensive linemen are bigger, faster, stronger. I don't know. Offensive linemen, it's really tough to get bigger, faster, stronger. on the offensive line, the defensive linemen, new schemes, new blitzing, things of that nature. I could point to salary cap and, you know, like with the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill, they had to trade him because they couldn't afford all these weapons. And the Chiefs, think about what the Chiefs did 3 years ago. The Chiefs sat around and go, okay, we've got a strong enough quarterback. He can make plays happen. He can do enough. We need to get some defensive guys in here. Think about how the Chiefs' identity has changed. I'm just picking them as an example the last 3 or 4 years. Their defense was phenomenal. It's why they won their Super Bowl. And I look at all this. And you could sit here and say, all right, well, it's down, but it's down a little. They're concerned that it's down a little. Everybody loves offense. If it continues to drop a point, you'd be, oh, that's not that much. Yeah, it's not that much right now. But in a year, you're talking about a touchdown. 4 straight years, NFL scoring's down. So when they say, oh, they favor the quarterbacks, they favor the offenses. Statistically, it's not true. If you want it to go up, to me, there's two simple fixes. If you want it to go up, you need to create opportunities to score, right? So what do? I've got two things. The first of which is there's no way this will happen, but I love it. And that's if you do not spend a timeout in the first half, you get to carry one over into the second. Well, Seth, that's going to speed up the first half. And at the end of the game, you call timeouts, get the ball back, chance to score. That's if, but you don't get to carry all three over. If you do not spend a timeout in the first half, you get to carry one into the second. So at the end of the game, technically you'd have 4 timeouts and the 2 minute warning. It's going to slow down the end of the game. Yeah. Make it a 30 second timeout. They don't need to be long. You're just stopping the clock anyway. You're not resting. And a full timeout, 30 second timeout. Plus, well, it's going to make the game longer. No, because if you're not using your timeouts in the first half, it's already sped up. So that does create opportunities at the end of the game to score. It's one way to boost scoring a little bit. No, I talked about the salary cap and how, you know, you've had significant guys that have been out. And, you know, I mentioned Joe Burrow being out last year. And, you know, Anthony Richardson was out. He was just a rookie, though. He had a lot of backups. What did we have last year at one point? I think we had 13 of the 32 quarterbacks were backups. So injuries play a part when you don't have elite quarterbacks in the game throwing the ball, that scoring is going to be down. And, you know, with concussion protocol and just how safe everybody is, it's just going to be one of those things. The other way you can increase scoring, they'll never do it. Again, that's one idea. The other one is make margin of victory a tiebreaker. You want scoring to go up? All right. I beat you. You beat me. We split. Now we go to division record. Oh, no. Make margin of victory. Well, they're going to run up the score. Uh-huh. If you make margin of victory a tiebreaker, or total points scored in a season a tiebreaker, at some level, scoring will go up. But then you got the whole thing where people are plunging into the end zone with a minute to go, up 14, 17 points. But there's a couple suggestions. You want to fix this stuff? You're worried about scoring? Those are two simple fixes. Create more opportunities at the end of the game to score. If you don't use any of your timeouts, you can carry one over. And insert point scored margin of victory somewhere in the equation. I mean, you could just swallow the whistle and pass interference calls, but those are ways to up the ante a little bit when it comes to scoring. Harp On Sports, The Bar, podcast, media, audio, radio network. Follow, share, like, subscribe. At Harp On Sports Twitter, at Harp On Sports Instagram. Harp On Sports, Auditory Route, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Harp On Sports Facebook page, Harp On Sports YouTube channel, and of course, harponsports.com. Remember, stay clean, stay focused, stay strong. Frankenstein, have fun with your friends.